ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹൃദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദിഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമഃ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ ഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരഭവാനന്ദ ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി ശ്രീഹൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്യ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ മമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാണ് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ നാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം അവത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈഭായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മൈ യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുകുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേർ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭി കാവി കാവി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമൽഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീ ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, the introduction to this chapter, 19th chapter, which is the knowledge Krishna is talking about here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, mostly refers to the process of knowledge, but combined with bhakti, combined with bhakti. In this chapter, you will see that first part of it, Krishna stresses on the knowledge and later on moves on to bhakti again. Moves on to bhakti again in the same chapter. We have seen before that, as we talked about it last Sunday also, that the way Maya operates, Maya, how it keeps us busy in this environment, it is something very important to know that how Maya is engaging us. Most of the people do not accept Maya. Do they? They do not even accept the presence of Maya in this world. Those who have accepted the world as totally real, for them Maya is very difficult to understand. So, but jnanis are of the opinion, their view is that that material nature will show something in front of us all the time and encourage us to be busy with something. That is the way Maya operates. Just we gave the example, like the the bull, when you're trying to extract the oil, when the bull is going in round and round, in front of the bull they tie the grass in front of the eyes about a feet away, and the bull is thinking, I'm going to get that grass, and continuously keep going for the grass. In the same way, and in that process oil gets extracted. But at the same time, bull does not know that the way it has been tied there to get him going. He is thinking that he is going to get that grass one day. Similarly, that Maya's engagement is like that with the living entity in this world. So this Maya always try to show that there is happiness in this world, and make us do a lot of work, and she will cheat us. At the end, she makes us. But most of the people won't recognize that because they don't know anything different than this. That is the problem. They think that this is all life has to offer, just to continue engage in the Maya service. So, till we have a higher goal, and when you have to, what you have to realize is that even this goal is also within this circle of Maya. Within the circle of Maya. So, but when somebody is very conscious, affected by the material nature, or when one's material consciousness is very, very strong, in order to bring him out from that material consciousness, a goal is required. A goal is required. And that is what we're talking about self-realization. About self-realization. And that goal is necessary for him to come out from the influence of that Maya. Influence of that Maya. But once you have come out from that, and once you have come to the process of self-realization, that you will realize it, even that goal is also a kind of illusion. Even the goal is also a kind of illusion. Because you can see this one point, that Maya has trained us to think like this, that you work, you will get it. You work, you will get it. This concept is very strong in our thinking. And similarly, when we come to spiritual self-realization also, we tend to think that a lot of work is required to reach that goal. A lot of work is required to reach that goal. Practically, what Krishna is going to say here now in this chapter is that goal is necessary to bring you out from the Maya first. But once you have accepted the process completely inside, then you are more relaxed about it, that you know that it is not necessary, there is no such thing as a point where you are going to reach that goal. It goes on continuously in the process, that identification with the soul becomes very firmly established, and that is the release from this body. Because as long as you maintain a separated existence like that, what is known as drishyam, drikka drishyam. Drikka means the person who is seeing. Drishyam is what is seeing. That separation comes there. Separation should not happen, because seeing and the object of seeing, drikka drishyam, this drikka and drishyam doesn't exist. In spiritual life, ultimately only one thing exists, the drikka. Drikka is the only thing. Drishyam doesn't exist. But to come to that, you have created a drishyam separation. Drishyam means something what you see, an object what you see. Drikka means someone who is seeing the object. Seeing the object and seeing so. So this will bring a misunderstanding that I have to achieve something in this life. I have to achieve something in this world. And which means that you are accepting that your own separated existence. Your own separated existence. So that is what we were discussing last Sunday. And we also mentioned about that, that as long as you have a goal, or you have some target to reach, and it is to be understood that you are always thinking in terms of your own individuality. Individuality exists there. So suppose somebody says that I've got all these things to do in my spiritual life, and as long as he says that, it means that there is a person separately existing there. And then the question will come, that because I have come separately from the Supreme Consciousness, separately my existence I have established, we are thinking in terms of this thing called liberation. Thing called liberation. But so long as the separated existence remain, liberation doesn't happen. Liberation doesn't happen. So what does liberation mean? Liberation means actually what? What does it mean? It means freedom. Freedom, isn't it? So, freedom from what? Freedom from what? Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita, the reference is given as Janmam, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. Birth, death, old age and disease. Remember that this topic what we are discussing here is one of the most complex subjects in the Bhagavadam. And when Uddhava asked these questions, you will see that later, in the Uddhava asked that question to Brahmidi me mana, Uddhava says. It's confusing me that in the same person there is bondage as well as there is liberation. This is what we are trying to explain. Krishna, Uddhava asked that question to, if you remember this, we talked about it before also. How come that in the same person both bondage and liberation exist? That was the question. If you had, if you remember this, what we talked about it at that time, that in the it was in the 10th chapter. Uddhava asked that question to Krishna. Uddhava, and that is how that answer came. Here he says here, Edad Achyuta Me Bruhi Prasnam Prasnavidam Vara. This is the last verse in the 11th chapter. Sorry, in the 10th chapter. In the 10th chapter. 10th chapter is an important chapter in the Ekadasha Skandam. 10th chapter is an important chapter. In that 10th chapter is where Krishna spoke about the process of self-realization, particularly with reference to the process of approaching a spiritual master, spiritual master's instructions to the disciple, qualifications of the disciple, qualifications of the spiritual master, all that is discussed in that 10th chapter. If you remember, Mayajadeya Shavahidam, that is how that chapter begins. It's a very, very important chapter. Every single verse in that chapter is full of spiritual knowledge and spiritual realization. So, depending on how much you have absorbed in reading that chapter, depending on how much time you have allocated to think about all that, these remaining chapters will become a lot easier. The 10th chapter is such an important chapter. Remember that? With that 10th chapter in Ekadasha Skandam, most of the major things what Krishna wants to say has spoken. Has spoken. And there, Mayadidesha Vahidam, Swadharmesha Madashraya, Varnashrama Kulacharam, Agamatma Samacharet. Krishna begins with that. Mayadidesha Vahidam, Swadharmesha Madashraya, Varnashrama Kulacharam, Agamatma Samacharet. That's why Krishna began with that chapter about Varnashrama Dharma and slowly moved on to knowledge of the self in that particular chapter. Krishna didn't talk about self-realization as such in that chapter. What Krishna spoke in that chapter was through Varnashrama Dharma and through the process of following that Dharma, how spiritual knowledge develops in a person. That is what was the stress given in that chapter. Particularly with reference to the process of self-realization, the established process in the Vedic tradition, which is the Jnana Margam. And in Jnana Margam, how the spiritual master, how he should be, what is his qualification, and the disciple, what should be his qualification. Krishna also mentions there, when and many things what he spoke about there, that the Suptasya Vishayalogo Dhyayadova Manorada Nanal Bhagatva Dhvela Tada Bhedata Dhir Gunehi. Krishna says there, Suptasya Vishayalogam. Krishna is constantly bringing us inwards, saying to us that world outside, the external world, Suptasya Vishayalogam, that is only a Sapna Prabhancham. Sapna Prabhancham means what you experience in the dream is not much different than the what you experience in the world outside through the senses. Dhyayadova Manorada. And someone who is dreaming or somebody who is on a, what we say, mental chariot, how sometimes people sit and start dreaming about various things. In the same way, Veda Buddhi, creating Veda Buddhi inside. Veda Buddhi means Vedalpadhi, that is the word Krishna uses. Vedalpadhi means seeing Vedam. Vedam means differences in the living entities. The differences is very strong when there is lack of any spiritual knowledge. The differences will be very strong. You will know, observe this yourself, you can see that spiritually advanced people, they don't differentiate a lot between one living entity to another. Because Krishna's presence in the living entity is recognized by those persons. They recognize Krishna's presence in the other living entity. So they do not create any disturbance in the society. They allow the whole society is Krishna is present there and they will accept that wholeheartedly. So, Nanal Bhagatva Dhvala Tada Bhedal Madhir Gunai. And afterwards Krishna spoke about that, mentions there, Nivurtam Karma Seveda Pravurtam Alpara Tejail. Jitnyasayam sampravarto nadriyat karma chodanam. This is a very interesting instruction to Uddhava. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, for you now at this stage, nivurtam karma saveda pravurtam alparatyajet. that all the karmam what you were absorbed in, you should be giving up now. You should not be stuck in this pool of karmam. You should have come out of it by now. And jityasayam sampravurto nadriyat karma chodanam. In other words, Krishna says here that once you are come to spiritual life and this process of absorption in the soul has begun, process of absorption, then you do not have to worry about karmam and other regulations and rules. It doesn't matter so much. Because you have come to that state of analyzing the importance of spiritual life and you are occupied with that process. Occupied with that process, which is known as Atmavijaram. Atmavijaram means absorption in the soul. Absorption in the soul. So when one has reached that stage, there is not necessary anymore to engage in the karma vidhi, to not too much absorbed in the regulations part of it. And if the karmam is becoming an obstacle in self-realization, even the nitya karmam or naimitika karmam, daily activities which are normally people have to execute, even they, if they become a problem, they should be given up. They should be given up. Krishna's instructions are very difficult sometimes to understand. To Arjuna, Krishna says, you take the weapon and fight. Isn't it? In the battlefield, he says, there is no necessity for you to stay quiet. You take the weapon and fight. Uddhava says, don't do anything. Leave everything and come to the knowledge, part of knowledge. So these things we will understand that depending on the adhikari bhedam, that means the stage in which the particular person is, Krishna instructs them. That is necessary also. You can't give one instruction to the whole world that do follow this. Krishna is also establishing that depending on a person's qualification, the instruction should be given to that person. So all that Krishna spoke about it, there's quite a lot of many verses in that. Vilakshana stula sushma aldehal almekshida sudrikka yada agnardaryano dahyo dahagonya prakashaka. Then because the soul is present in everyone and it is the same soul, one soul that is present in everyone, that what is that soul? Krishna is explaining vilakshana stula sushma deha almekshida sudrikka. And the spiritual master's relationship, that the Atma which is present inside, that he is different from the gross and the subtle body. And also when you come to that realization of the presence of the soul in that way, in every living entity, Drikha and Drishyam will go, the seer and the seen will be gone. And many things. And also he mentioned about Vaisharadi Sadhi Vishuddha Buddhir Dunodhi Mayam Gunasam Prasudam Gunamscha Sandahi Adalpamedad Swamja Shamit Asamityadagni. So Vaisharadi Buddhi. We talked about all that when we discussed that 10th chapter. So it was at the end of that chapter, Uddhava asked this question, that Uddhava says, Guneshu Vartamanobi Deham Jeshu Anapavrata Gunairna Badhyadehi Badhyadeva Katham Vibho. What is Mukti means? What does liberation means? Uddhava asked this question, isn't it? So the soul, which is present everywhere in every living entity, it has the body and the karmam also. There is body, there is karmam as well. How come? This question is very important. We say this all the time, soul has nothing to do with anything, isn't it? So Uddhava is asking this question, how is that soul doesn't get caught up in anything? This is a good question. That soul has got this body, the body is there, karmam is there going on, the soul is present there. How is that soul is not bound by any of these things? And then how come, Uddhava is asking, if you say that soul has no contact with the matter, how come he gets bound? Again, he is moving on to the next body. So that's a sort of bondage as well, isn't it? Once you leave this body, if you are going to another body and the soul is getting bound there again, it appears as though soul is bound. On the other hand, soul is not bound. This is the principle. So this apparently contradicting position is confusing Uddhava, and Uddhava asked that question, Katham Varteda Viharet Kairva Jnayeda Lakshane Kim Bhunji Doda Visraje Chai Dasida Yadiva. How come a person who is bound and a person who is liberated, what will be the difference between the two? This was the question Uddhava asked. And how do they speak? How do they eat? How do they sleep? Exactly like the way Arjuna asked in the same way in the Bhagavad Gita. So, and ultimately Uddhava says to Krishna, Edadachyutame Bruhi Prasnam Prasnavidam Vara Nityabuddho Nityabaddho Nityamukta Ega Evedime Brahmaham. He says that a same soul, you are telling me that eternally he is going through the cycle of birth and death. In other words, he is in bondage. Baddha. Nitya Baddha. And on the other hand, you are also telling me this eternally he is liberated. The soul situation, Krishna Uddhava is asking. Nitya Baddho Nitya Mukta. Nitya Baddho Nitya Mukta. How come Eka Evedi Me Brahma? How come both these things are happening in the same body? In the same body. So, in other words, bandham and moksham, that means bondage and liberation, you may have to say in that case, it is eternal. Is eternal. Otherwise, what will happen? That a person who is liberated, if he is coming back again, a person who is liberated, if he is coming back again and accepting another body, that means bondage is also eternal. Liberation is eternal, as we say. The soul has nothing to do with anything. Krishna rejects in the next verse, isn't it? In the next 11th chapter, Krishna began with this. Bandham muktam iti vyakhya gunatome navastuda gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. Krishna begins answering that question, where Krishna mentions there that bandham and mukti is due to the three modes of material nature, and these modes of material nature is due to maya. Maya. Maya is the cause behind it. Gunasya maya mulatval, and Krishna also mentions there name moksho na bandhanam. There is no bondage and there is no liberation. So here in this chapter, Krishna is saying here that there is bondage because janmam mrityu jara vyadhi. Krishna has spoken about that in the Bhagavad Gita also. When you receive freedom from that, that is called liberation. That is called liberation. But if you tell somebody that birth, death, old age and disease is a problem, they will say that why is it such a big problem, birth, death, old age and disease, at least once you are born. And those who are in the material concept of life, the bodily identity, they will always say that, well, while we have a body, we could live in this world happily and look after this body very well. And they won't even accept that even taking birth is a distress. They won't accept that. So, so while taking birth, they do not consider it as a distress at all. There is a lot of people in this world who consider that taking birth is not a big problem. That is why they are able to celebrate this happy birthday. Happy birthday has come from that, because they have never understood that why it's a problem. Where is the problem in taking birth? This is their question. So it is another, but from the Krishna's position, that taking birth itself is one of the greatest misery. Krishna calls it like that, isn't it? Janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. Four things he has addressed that. So death is sometimes distress. But then there are a lot of people always dying in this world, and people argue about that, saying that after all, people will die one day. And when you get old, the body is meant to die and is meant to go. So why there should be so much distress about it? So they do not consider these four things as a serious problem. Which one? Birth, death, old age and disease. They are not able to accept that. There are people like that in this world. There's a lot of people who do not, if you tell them that Krishna is saying like this, birth, death, old age and disease is a problem, they say it's not such a big problem. Our problem is economic development and other issues. These things they accept it without, they think it's not a problem, it's everybody is dying, so what? That's how they look at it. So that's a different approach because it is from that ignorance. That means even the very basic, what Krishna says to us, that we are not able to see any problem in that. Even the birth, death, old age and disease, people can't see any problem with that. What is the problem? So, they have a problem in the sense that suddenly death happens to someone, there is a little difficulty at that time. And the fear also is there. So, Krishna's point is that no living entity lives in this world without fear. That is the established fact. Anyone, doesn't matter who it is, they always live under fear. And how you can free yourself from the fear is more important than from the death. Or because later on, Krishna himself says that death is not a big thing. But the fear of death is more frightening. It's more frightening than death itself. It is that fear that is following us all the way through about death, isn't it? So, Krishna's point is, freedom from that fear is liberation. Not that freedom from death it's as such. Freedom from death, no, people are not too concerned about that, but Krishna will say later that mrityu atyanda vismriti. If you think about death, practically Krishna's point is, it is nothing but another forgetfulness of this body. What happens at the time of death is that when the body is ready to go or when we have to leave this body at the time of death, Krishna is saying here that material nature is bringing in front of us. All our vasanas will will manifest in at that time, and according to whichever vasana is the most powerful, accordingly another body will be made on offer to us. And at a certain point, we will see that this body with whom I am identifying at the moment, I will lose that identity of this body. That is death. That's what Krishna is saying. Mrityu atyanda vismriti. Ultimately, forgetfulness about my own body. That's all it is. In simple terms, Krishna puts it like that. It's not a very complex thing, Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava, it's not a very complex thing, this thing called death. What happens is, at the time of death, whole life we have identified with body, I am this body, I am this body. But this identification with the body loosens up at the time of death. At some point, we think ourselves that I have no connection with this body. And that is what is death. That's what Krishna is saying, atyanda vismriti, complete forgetfulness of this identification with the body, and the soul is ready to move on to the next next offer, next body, whatever it has to be given. So, this is Krishna is saying here that the fear of this transfer from this body to the next, because living entity is not conscious or aware of the this transmission that's happening from this body to the next, he's always thinking that death is going to come, death is going to come, while in the concept of this body, bodily concept of life. So, the mukti or liberation, what Krishna is saying here, is that there is a message there telling us that there is a way to free yourself from this state of entanglement with this body. So, we find it difficult to accept that we can stop this cycle of birth and death, isn't it? Because everybody is within that. Everybody is within that. Death is there, the disease is there, and all other kinds of problems and distress, and everything is present in this world. Everything is present in this world. And nowhere you can see a continuous experience of shanti or peace anywhere, is it not? Nowhere you find a continuously people living in a peaceful state. Always in a, sometimes happy, sometimes in distress. Constantly you can't witness anywhere, you can say that everyone is living in a very peaceful state. So there also the statement is that when you come to that state, that is called a nirvanam. But the Buddhist calls it as nirvanam. That freedom from that peaceful state existence. And that is addressed by the Buddhist as the mukti. So, here the question is, if all this birth, death, old age and disease is our nature of this body, and if I am this body, then talking about liberation is a lie. Is it not? If I am this body and birth, death, old age and disease is a part of this body, then there is no point in discussing about liberation. Liberation is a lie. Because if I am this body, what we know very well, if I am this body, for the body there is birth, for the body there is death, for the body there is illness, and these things cannot be avoided. Cannot be avoided. It is not possible. Which means, if I am this body, then there is no need to talk about liberation. That's the first point. If I am this body, there is no point in talking about liberation. Because as far as body is concerned, birth, death, old age, disease, all these things is a must. It must happen. It must happen as far as the body is concerned. So that means you are bound. If you are the body, you are bound. So Uddhava asked that question, that bandham, bondage is there. You can't deny that. Bondage is there while you are the body. While you are the body, the bondage is there. And actually, bondage is on the one side, and it is a fact, nobody can deny it, as far as bondage is concerned. Bondage is there, body is there, and all the problems of this life is also there. All kinds of distress, that's also there. And the right thing to do, that while we are in the bodily concept of life, is to accept that it is a reality. As long as we are in the bodily concept of life, we have to accept that there is a thing called bondage. This is how Krishna progresses in this way. Krishna explains that. Because it is not a reality you can reject. While you are in the body, you have birth, you have death, you have old age, you have disease. As long as your identification is with the body. So, if you accept the body is real, then all these things are real. Bondage is real, old age is real, disease is real, death is real. Everything is real. So, we cannot try to escape from that. We cannot try to escape that. Because we are ordinary people. We are ordinary people. In fact, from the great personalities, right up to the ordinary person in the street, this apply. You take, for example, all the great spiritual personalities, starting from, say, Lord Buddha, or Lord Jesus Christ, or even Prophet Muhammad. And from then on, all the great person, all the acharyas, all of them, they were also within this circle of Maya. They are also within the circle of Maya. Why? Because in this material nature, they had to operate. Within the material nature, they had to operate. Anyone you can take, for example, all their activities are within this nature or Prakriti or Maya, whichever way you address that. On the one hand, people whom you think are great souls, they are inside this Maya. They had to go through this, isn't it? Buddha had to leave his body. Jesus Christ had to leave his body. And Muhammad also has to leave his body. Anybody, if you take in that, all the acharyas had to leave their body. They had to go through this process. While within Maya, this rule do apply, no matter who it is. no matter who it is. And these are all the good people whom you are referring to. Now you'd like to take, for example, all the big, powerful, demoniac nature, like, say, for example, Hitler, or the Mussolini, or Ravana, or Hiranyakashipu, or Hiranyaksha. They are also inside the same Maya. They are also inside the same Maya. So, and all of us also inside the same Maya. So, material energy, while it is operating, she doesn't show any kind of consideration to anybody. Whether all these whom we call as good people and whom we call as bad people, all of them are within this circle of Maya. And we are also within this circle of Maya. We also cannot jump outside from this Maya. Because why is it like that? What does Maya means? Maya means the body. The body itself is Maya, is it not? How? Krishna says that, isn't it? Body is Maya, the mind is Maya, intelligence is Maya, false ego is Maya, everything is Maya. Krishna, we spoke about that in the 7th chapter. Do you remember? Bhumi, apam, analam, vayu, kham, mano, buddhi, evaja, ahangaram, itiyame, vinna, prakriti, ashtatha. Ashtatha prakriti, that means these eight things, what are they? Five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. Eight total. All of these eight has come from Maya. That has come from Maya, is it not? Prakriti, material nature, Maya has given us that. Because it's come from Maya, it is also a product of Maya. So, while inside this Maya, you have to accept the rules of the Maya. We may say that the freedom from Maya is not possible so easy. It's not possible. That these eight elements, these five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego, this is what we are identifying at the moment. Is it not? Our identification with these eight things. So, and false ego is there, intelligence is there. So, if you take all these things away, then what's left in us? Suppose you take away the body, suppose you take the mind, the intelligence and ego, what is left then? So that question will come. That is to prove that the identification with the body means identification with the mind, identification with the intelligence, it's all same time, isn't it? Most all of us are in that state. As long as it's all like that, we are in Maya. We are in Maya. Then the question will come, is there a way out from this? That is why Krishna mentions there. That's why that 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is a big eye-opener. Jnana Vijnana Yogam. Why Krishna says there? Because you cannot just leave Maya and go, keeping this body. Because body itself is Maya. Is it not? Body itself is Maya. As far as Krishna is concerned, body is Maya. So, we want to keep the body, keep the mind, keep the intelligence, and then we want to free from the Maya. So that's not possible. So this is what why it's called Maya. Maya has kept us in such a tight control. So how will you escape from Maya then? When there is a body, when there is a mind, when there is intelligence, when there is ego, how can we escape from Maya? That is the question. So in that state, while inside this Maya, and we are in Maya, there is no such thing called liberation. This is the first thing to understand. There is no such thing called liberation when you have this gross material body. All of us are inside this. All of us are inside this. And once you are in that Maya, you have to accept that happiness will be there and the distress will be there. Happiness and the distress will be there and all other kinds of problems associated with that. So, as far as the Maya is concerned, anyone who has taken a form and come here, they are all in the same category. No one is free from that. Whether they are demons or whether they are Rakshasa or Asuras or whatever it may be, in our thinking, we will separate them out. We will say these are saintly people and these are demoniac people. We will separate like that. But this difference is always in our vision. This difference is in our vision. But on an absolute platform, Rama and Ravana belongs to the same category. Rama and Ravana also belongs to the same category. This you have to see from the spiritual side. Because similarly, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada, they are all in the same category. This is very clear in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is trying to tell us something very important here. Once you have come to Maya, within the circle of Maya, within this, inside this Maya, we have all these differences. We have made differences like these are saintly people and these are demonic people. We look at Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, Kumbhakarna in one way. We will look at all the great jnanis, yogis and the spiritual personalities in a different way. That is from the Loka Drishti. Loka Drishti means from our study of this, from within this Maya, that's how you will see things. But Bhagavatam is saying to us that if you look at Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, from an absolute level, they are not demons, are they? They are not demons. They came from Vaikuntham. Bhagavatam is telling us this. They came from Vaikuntham. Only when they were inside this Maya, they are demons. We are addressing them. They are not eternal demons, are they? They are not. You can't call. In fact, Jaya and Vijaya in Vaikuntham, they were Mahavishnu's personal associates there. Personal associates. When they came here, they had to accept this role of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, or Ravana and Kumbhakarna, or Shishubala and Dandavakra. That's the role they had to play here inside this Maya. So, they actually came from Vaikuntham, isn't it? Not only that, in the Bhagavatam it says, when they were in the Vaikuntham, they were always in the Samadhi state. They were always in the Samadhi state. So, this thing called demon and also devotee, in whichever way you call these people, saintly or demoniac, all this, it's all a relative thing. It's all a relative thing. Or somebody is good, somebody is bad, or somebody is very pious and somebody is very wicked. All these things, these are relative things. They are not on an absolute level. They are on a relative thing. While they are here, they had to play that role. They played that role. And at that particular time, you can call them as though they have demoniac in that way. But it's not an absolute thing, isn't it? So everybody is in the same circle. So in other words, on the one side, you can look at it this way. In the level of body, in the level of the mind, or the level of intelligence, if you look at through that level, you are all within the control of Maya. We are all within the control of Maya. You can't say you are free from Maya. Nobody, that is why this Maya, we have, because we don't understand what Maya is. We start declaring that I'm not in Maya, we'll say. I'm not in Maya. How can you not be? Everybody is in Maya. Who is not in Maya? So long as you have a material body, you are in Maya. Because the body is there and if you declare, so you can see that statement itself doesn't make any sense. You can see from Krishna's words only, if you take it, the five material elements, the body, five material elements is this gross body, isn't it? Then you've got the mind, intelligence and false ego. All these eight things, Krishna is saying there that it is the material nature, Maya. Bhinna Prakriti Ashtada. Apara Prakriti. Krishna calls it as Apara Prakriti. So long as we are with the Apara Prakriti, we have to accept there is a thing called bondage. There's a thing called bondage in there. So, the example is like this, that if you look at it that way, there is no possibility of escaping from here. As long as we think that we are one of these eight things, body or the mind or intelligence or ego, there is no chance of escaping from here. This we have to accept first. It's no point thinking, because otherwise it's a misunderstanding, total misunderstanding. What we are doing now is thinking that I'm this body and is there a way of escaping from here? Do you understand what I'm saying? At the moment, what are we thinking? Everybody is working to become realize the truth, isn't it? We don't want to accept another body. We don't want to continue the cycle of birth and death. But we are holding on to the body. Krishna's point is, so long as you have these things with you, the gross body, mind, intelligence and ego, it is better to accept it that you cannot escape with that. Holding on to it and to escape from here is not possible. Holding on to it means that when it keeps coming, the body keeps coming one after the other. What can you do? And that is the first realization. Krishna is going to talk about it in this chapter. In this chapter. That as long as we think we are this body, means that as long as we have a body, or mind, or intelligence, or the false ego, it is not possible to escape from here. If this much, if we accept, it will do a lot of good. It'll do a lot of good. Because then we won't be operating in ignorance. We know our limitations, isn't it? Just like somebody who doesn't know how to swim. How to swim. Suppose you take him and drop him in the water. What will do? He'll try to escape from the water. Somehow he will struggle to get out of the water. So, suppose a deep lake or deep water tank, you drop him there, he will try to escape from there. He will try, but he may or may not escape, but that's another thing. But he will try to escape from there. On the other hand, you throw a dead body into that water, it will float. Dead body, if you throw into the water, it will float. Now, from the scientific point of view, you may have different explanations to that, for this. Why the dead body floats and a person who has life in him, he does not float, he goes down. What is the reason behind that? I don't know what the scientific answer is, but that's another thing. We'll look at it from what the Vedic point of view, what Vedas are talking about that. What says the answer is then that because the dead body doesn't try to escape, it floats. In other words, that false ego is not present there in the dead body. Because it doesn't have the false ego, it floats. This is the Shastric way of looking at it. That's the way of looking at it. So similarly, we are trying to escape from here. In our spiritual life, what are we trying to do? Trying to escape from here. And therefore, we get bound. We get bound. Every effort is a bondage. Every effort is a bondage. Every effort is a bondage. But if there is no effort to escape from here, what will happen? This connection with the body will eventually go. You see, we have in our own mind set some goal in spiritual life, is it not? Normally, that is how we are operating in our spiritual life also. Inside our own mind, we have certain set some goals. What is that goal? Goal is like this. Different people may have a different perception, but in principle, it is very much the same. That I have to work, I have to do a lot of sadhana, I have to engage in different kind of spiritual activities like meditation or deity worship or chanting or pilgrimage or Bhagavatam studying or whatever. All these things is with the understanding that I'm going to escape from here one day. Escape is the goal, isn't it? So, realized souls, they don't operate in that way. It is in ignorance that we operate in that state. What the realized soul say to us is that there is nowhere to escape. Already the problem what we have at the moment is this, within this Maya, while we have this Maya holding on us from all sides, through the body, mind, intelligence and ego, escape is not possible. So, and therefore, every effort is a bondage. Why it's a bondage? Because every time you put an effort in that direction, your ego also gets strengthened. I am doing this and therefore I must have the result, must come one day. Or
it is not possible to take that ego away and continue your spiritual sadhana. It is very difficult thing. Very, very difficult thing. So, important thing here is that, here, what is the important thing is that if you do not have any effort, this effort is causing all the problem, isn't it? Sometimes when you see some people put so much effort into it, so much effort into it. If you don't put any effort into it, so he says here, move about in this world as if you are dead. Move about in this world as if you are dead. You may see why it is like this. Because the way we operate in this world, that means there is no reaction for anything. No reaction. This false ego inside, that is what is causing all this problem. The false ego is causing the bondage. And as long as that false ego is there, there is no way of escaping from this situation. From the situation. What is the symptom of a dead body? Symptom of a dead body is that it does not react to anything. Isn't it? It will never react to anything. That's why it's a dead body. So, so therefore, many great personalities, they say, and this is the same principle in Vedantam also, that not to react to anything, not to react to any situation, because that is the most difficult thing also, isn't it? Not to react to anything. But it is a very deep root of Vedantam, not to react to any situations, not to react to any situation. Because as long as the false ego pops up, false ego is what is reacting, isn't it? Somebody is reacting a situation means the false ego has come up inside. So false ego has come up inside. So not allowing the false ego to pop up is the way not to react to any situation. So if you abuse a dead body, it's not going to react, isn't it? It's not going to react here. Whereas somebody else will react. Somebody else will react. You will see this in the Bhagavatam. I'm going to bring that example from the Bhagavatam. That Bhagavatam is telling us these things. Sometimes if you don't react, people ask, suppose you said something to someone expecting some reaction from that person and he didn't say anything. Then you will ask the question, are you a living person but dead? Jiva Shavam. It's called Jiva Shavam, we say. In the Bhagavatam, you will notice that in the, there's a verse, who asked this question? Rahugana said this to Jadabharata. Do you remember that? Look into Bhagavatam, you will see that. I'll read that verse. That what he said was that, Rahugana and Jadabharata met. Jadabharata was asked to carry the palanquin, isn't it? Where Rahugana was traveling. And he was not keeping up with other three people who are carrying the same palanquin. And because he was not walking with other three people in the same pace, it was causing problem for the king who was sitting in the top. So Rahugana, who was the king, he looked through the window and said to the people who were carrying him that what's the problem? There seems to be something not correct, that I'm not feeling comfortable inside this palanquin. So the other three people complained that we have got this fourth person. He's causing all the problem. He's not walking properly along with us. He has his own idea and he's doing things his own way. Isn't like that. So Rahugana told him that what's wrong with you? Why don't you follow like everybody else? So says to him, Atha Punasushivigayam Vishamagadayam Prakubita Uvacha Rahugana Kimidamare
Tvam jivan mrudomam kadarthi krityaha.
Then jivan mrudam, you act as though you are a living person, but are you dead? That's how he addressed him.
Jivan mrudoma kadarthi krtya vartra shasanam adhijarasi pramatasya chate karomi chikilsam dandabani riva janadaya yatha prakritim swam vajishyase iti.
Do you need some treatment? He says. Rahugana is speaking to him in a very arrogant way. I am the king. That is Rahugana's mood, isn't it? So, if you want to understand Bhagavadam, we have no choice except to understand the mood of these great personalities, devotees. Particularly now, this Jataparada, the great personality, who is very much similar to Sukadeva Goswami, the speaker. Jataparada is saying there that he would not react to anything. Any situation, he won't react. That is his state of realization. He won't react to anything. So, not reacting to any situation is the first thing. Not reacting to any situation is the first thing. And from our point of view, you may say, how can we become like Jadabharata? We are not Jadabharata. We are to live in this world. Vyavaharam will be there. And every time we will react to the different situations. But the reality is that not reacting to any situation takes us to realization, to self-realization. So, he asked this question and there was no reaction from Jadabharata. So, others also, suppose somebody gets rude with you or rude with us in that state, why do they get rude with us? Because they are expecting us to react to it, isn't it? They expect us to react to it. The result what he gets or the profit what he gains from that rudeness is that he wants us to react. If we react, he feels satisfied. If you don't react, then he gets more heavy or he gets more rude about things, isn't it? So, suppose you don't react to him, then all his effort has gone as a waste. And there is an explanation on that from Lord Buddha. Then Buddha was in Vaishali. When he was in Vaishali, that is a place where Buddha spent a lot of time in Vaishali. And at that time, one person, he was talking to Buddha about that. He was following Buddha. And when Buddha moved away from Vaishali, he followed him. And he continuously abused Lord Buddha. He continuously abused Lord Buddha. Seeing this Lord Buddha's nature of not reacting to any situations. So one day Buddha told him that I've heard everything what you have told me. So he says to him, what's your opinion now what I have told you? This person who was getting very rude with Buddha told Buddha that I have told so many things to you. What's your reaction to that? Buddha said, suppose you have brought a lot of things to give it to me. He says, particularly say some fruits, some milk and things like that. I have not accepted anything what you have brought it for me. What will you do with it? He said, I'll take it back. He said. And similarly, that's exactly what I'm doing, he said. I'm not accepting anything what you have said, so you have to take it back yourself. This was the way Buddha reacted to that situation. So that's exactly what I have done here. Nothing I have accepted. If you have not reacted to it, sadhushu prakritam pradu kurude ashivam. So here in Vedantam also, in Krishna consciousness also, this is a necessity. This is a necessity. So here, this not reacting to any situation is the first step. Because it is only by doing that our identification with the material nature will become stronger. You can think about this. That if you do not react to any situation in this world, on a subtle level, you are with the nature. On a subtle level, you are with the nature. At the moment when you are reacting, what it means is, I am something different than the material nature, and there is a Brahman, a kind of illusion in my mind, and that has to go. That has to go. As I mentioned before, that while we are inside this Maya, It is better not to think that I have escaped from her at any time. It is not possible. Because it is a fact, isn't it? Body is Maya. Mind is Maya. Intelligence is Maya. Ego is Maya. Everything is Maya. That's all what we have got at the moment. We have no knowledge of the soul. So while it is in this state, it is better to accept that reality and not to think that we are free or independent from Maya. Independent from Maya. Because otherwise what will happen? If you keep on thinking, I want to escape from here, I want to escape from here, what will be our attitude? We will try to see in all situations there will be problems. We will find so many difficulties with the material world and start thinking that somehow try to avoid situations and also try to think that I am going to escape from Maya, which is not going to happen. Which is not going to happen. Because the way she is holding us is so difficult to free ourselves easily from that. She has given us the body. She has given us the mind. She has given us the intelligence. And she has given us this ego as well. With all these things together in us, how it is possible to free ourselves from them? So, first thing is this, that that we have this feeling that we are separate from material nature. We are separate from material nature. So this is called Brahmam. Shastram calls it as Brahmam. Brahmam means some perception like that. And that has to go from inside. It has to go from inside. And that will, all the yoga sadhana, all the sadhana what we execute is that, that everybody is thinking that one day I will escape from here. One day I'll escape from this prakriti, from the material nature. And if you continue doing a lot of yoga sadhana means different spiritual activities in that way, and people are thinking that one day this body will become very special, and mind, intelligence, everything will become special, but you can take it, nothing is going to become special. Nothing is going to become special. All what will happen is, one day, when we leave this body, all the elements will go back to the same material nature where it came from. Same thing will happen to mind, intelligence, ego, everything. It all goes back to its own place where it came from. So, first thing is, to think, not to think in terms of moving away from the prakriti. Not to move away from the material nature or the prakriti. Because we are part of this prakriti. We are a part of this material nature at the moment. We are a part of this material nature. And our body, mind, intelligence, everything is prakriti. Is prakriti. So, everything inside this mechanism is prakriti. We can't leave all these things one lot and keep saying that I am spirit soul, so nothing will affect me. That's not possible. That's the point Krishna is making here. And that's why the famous prayers for Maya, Maya means in personified form, you address her as Sri Parvati or addressed as Devi, or in the Devi Bhagavadam and also in the Devi Mahalpyam, you will see when addressing her, she is not addressed as a person directly, but rather addressed her as someone who is running this body. She is holding us in everything. You can see that also in our own life. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu buddhirubena samsthita. Namastase, 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 namonama. Our intelligence, it is her intelligence. It is she who has given us that. We have separated ourselves and thinking that it's my intelligence. But actually it's her intelligence. Similarly, you can see how she controls. When hunger comes, Devi Bhagavatam says, Yadevi sarvabhudeshu kshutharubena samsthita. Who creates that hunger? She creates the hunger. It's her body, isn't it? She gave us this body and she has decided that this body should experience hunger at a particular time. And it comes. You have no choice there, isn't it? At that point, you will ask for food. You won't say, look, I'm not this body, so I don't want any food. You won't say that, would you? You will say, give me the food first. I'm hungry. After that, we'll talk everything else. So, you can see, at no step, you have any freedom as long as this body is there, the mind is there, intelligence is there, the ego is there. And similarly, if you look at it this way, that sleep is concerned, where is the freedom? Memory is concerned, where is the freedom? Hunger is concerned, where is the freedom? And knowledge is concerned, where is the freedom? So in the Lalidasa Sam, therefore it's always said that all this is her. She is the one who is inside us in this form operating here. So the memory power inside it is her. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you don't think that, oh, these are all personalities and Krishna is having a problem with Sri Parvati. It is not like that. That's not how he understands. What it is Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavad Gita, that matasmadarjnanam apohanamcha vedescha sarvair ahameva vedyo vedandakrit vedavideva chaham. Isn't it? Sarvasya jaham hrithi sanyavishto matasmradirjnanam apohanam cha. Now when Krishna is saying like that, matasmradirjnanam apohanam cha, this mriti jnanam apohanam, knowledge, forgetfulness and memory, all these three things, they are happening within this body under the control of material nature. Prakriti is in control there, isn't it? She is under Krishna's control. But when Krishna says everything, I am controlling. But there is an intermediary there, that Sri Parvati or the Devi, she has the role in there. Otherwise, everything will become different. It's not that Krishna directly controls everything. Her role as Prakriti, she is controlling the material nature. She controls all these things inside us. Hunger comes. In fact, she makes every decision every moment for us, if you look at it that way. Every moment she is making the decision and she is controlling everything, every minute, every second. While here, then suddenly you are listening and she decided that you don't need to listen this anymore. She pulls the shutter, eyes closes, you go to sleep. You have no freedom there, is there? You will say so many things that, I try to control my sleep, but that's all just a statement, doesn't mean anything more than that. If she decided that your prarabdham is such that you are not meant to hear something, you won't hear it. That is how the grip, how strong the grip is, Maya's grip on us. She will create a situation that you won't hear it. Deliberately she will create that situation. She will create this sleeping mood and you will go to sleep. You'll go to sleep. There is no choice there. She has put the shutter there. So, because if she realizes that she has put us here in a situation and we have what is known as prarabdham. Prarabdha means we have been sent here to go through prarabdha karma, isn't it? We should never think that we, in our ignorance, think somebody is big in this world, somebody is small in this world, or somebody is doing big things, somebody is doing small things. From the Vedic point of view, nobody is big here, nobody is small here. Nobody is doing any big thing here, nobody is doing any small thing here. Every human society, everyone who had come here, he has come to experience his prarabdham. That is the principle. Prarabdham has brought us here. Prarabdham is so important. Prarabdham decided what kind of body we should have. Material nature provided that. That's all it is. In a ignorant state, we will call, somebody is big, he's American president or prime minister or whatever, big businessman and all that. Just if you accept this understanding that this big and small, important and not important, all this is Maya's game, what she is playing with us. In reality, from the spiritual point of view, including from the United States president right up to the ordinary man in the street, they have all come here to finish up their prarabdham. And there's two goals. One, to finish the prarabdham, and secondly, they are also have tried to advance in their spiritual life. Although at the moment it may not appear as though they are absorbed in spirituality, but this finishing a prarabdha means progressing in spiritual life. Progressing in spiritual life. So here, all that you can say here is that she will, if she finds that something is going to be an obstacle in completing your prarabdham, she will pull the shutter. She'll pull the shutter. If she sees that any knowledge or information, anything that will get seen and going to delay in experiencing it, because so many things are already set up. When we get this body, there is a certain amount of prarabdha karma we have to experience through this body. There's nothing you can do about it. And when that has to be experienced, it has to happen. It has to go through that experience also. And therefore, she decides at what time, when we should stay awake and when should sleep. Even that is decided by her. So that person who is sitting inside, who makes that decision, it is mentioned in the Upanishads as, so she knows how to control, and when she comes, automatically the head will drop like this. Head will drop at that moment, when that point comes. So that is why in Upanishads it says there that we don't know about that, but the person inside, yes, sarvajnaha, sarvavid, yes, sarvavid. So, so many qualities that these are all reference to Andaryami. Andaryami principle. Andaryami principle it is that. Yasya jnanamayam tamaha. This Upanishad says, Yasya sarvajnaha sarvavid yasyaiva mahima bhuvi divye brahmapure hyesha vyomnayatma pratishthita manomayi pranashariraneta pratishthitone hridayam sannidhaya tadvijnanena paripashyanti dhiraha anandarupamamrtam yad vibhati. This is from the Upanishads. It says, Ya sarvajnya sarvaved yasaiva mahima bhuvi divye brahmavure yesha e vyo bhuyatma pratishthita manomaya prana sharira neta. So all this mind, intelligence and everything is operating under her control, under Prakriti's control. We will call different names, Prakriti, material nature, Maya. These are different names, but addressing the same person or same force that is working there. So, here the question is that here that this different forces that is acting within this body. Anandarupam artham ya vibhadihi. So, once we have come to know about these things, how this body is functioning here in this world, that it will give us some different perception of this life in this world. Different perception of this life in this world. So, in other words, that anandam or happiness, what is referred to as self-realization state, that there is no conflict there. There is no conflict there. You see, when we have a conflict inside, we will never get too close to the truth. Conflict will rule everything, isn't it? That's why Shastram will say not to create any conflict inside. So, therefore, the important point is, it is better to accept that in the eyes of the world, they can say anything what they like about anybody. But if we accept the principle that I am someone ordinary in this world, just like my body is maintained by the Maya, Prakriti has given this body, Prakriti is keeping this body going, whether it should live or whether it should go, and its functions like sleeping, eating, and all other things, what's happening inside the body is very much controlled. So, these things has to be accepted first. These things has to be accepted. So many problems comes in life, isn't it? And it comes to everybody, not only one person. Everyone gets different kinds of problems. But people generally will say, why did this happen to me? They'll say, so others are not having any problems in this world. So, in the Ramayanam, there is Bhavabhuti. Bhavabhuti wrote what is known as Uttararamacharitam. Uttararamacharitam, Bhavabhuti was like Kalidas, he was a famous personality, was present in the Vikramaditya's court. So, when Ramachandra had problems Ramachandra had many problems, isn't it? Ramachandra's life is full of problems from beginning to end. First he had to leave home, and then problems with Kaikeyi. He had to leave home and go to the forest. And Ramayana is telling a certain things, important things here, that Uttararama Charitam, which Bhavabhuti wrote at one point, Ramachandra says there that one instance when Ramachandra was in a very deep distress, distress in the sense that Sridhadevi was, Sridhadevi after the war, Sridhadevi was present in Lanka, and Ramachandra didn't go to see Sridhadevi. At that point, what happened was that he told Vibhushana to go and talk to Sridhadevi. War was over, Ravana was killed, and still Ramachandra wouldn't go to Sridhadevi. It caused a lot of distress in Sridhadevi's mind. If you read Ramayana, you will notice this. That it caused a lot of distress in Sridhadevi's mind. So many months she was waiting Ramachandra to come, and Ramachandra had come, war was over, and Ramachandra has killed Ravana, and still Ramachandra wouldn't go to Sridhadevi. He sent Hanuman to Sridhadevi and told that Vibhishana will go and bring her here. There was a little problems there with Ramachandra at that point. Too much sticking to dharmam, Ramachandra had to suffer in this world. Sudeva Goswami says that in the 9th canto, you will see there. So Ramachandra also had to go through distress in life. So at that point, Ramachandra says to in the Bhavabhuti says, you quoting as Ramachandra, he says there, after all, Ramosmi Sarvam Sahed, he says. After all, I am Rama, isn't it? I can suffer, it's no problem. He says, after all, I am Rama. That was his answer. Because I am Rama, I can tolerate everything. Rama's approach was like that. So, this whole Ramayanam story is to teach us this principle that tolerating is a big thing in life. So, even the great personalities like Ramachandra, they had to experience distress in their life and they had to go through that. That is the rule of this material world. Mayas, within this Maya, they also cannot move away from the rules of this world. They have to follow that. Even Krishna's case, if you look, what has happened? Do you see any time Krishna had any peace in this world? You may start thinking why Krishna was busy with all these kind of things, what he had to go through. From appearance day onwards, till Krishna left this world, there was not a very peaceful life, was it? If you read through Bhagavatam or Mahabharatam, you will see constantly wars, fighting, demons attacking continuously, Dwaraka, and Krishna had to constantly fight against them, and all the marriages Krishna had to get involved with, and eventually own family members fought each other. So where was the peace in all these things? You may think that even Krishna and Ramachandra, while they were here in this sphere of Maya, all these things, they also had to go through that. Willingly or unwillingly, that's another question. It has to happen here. That's the problem. Whether Krishna could have avoided that, that's another question. Krishna can avoid everything what he wants. But the question is that, while inside this sphere of Maya, the rules of Maya apply. One cannot move away from that. So that is the law of the nature, material nature. So, what does it mean? It means that material nature is telling us that you are not in control. You are not in control at all. And this is not only a demonstration that we are nothing. It's a demonstration we are nothing. Suppose you say that you are something in this world, and the more you feel that you are somebody in this world, accordingly she will come out and she will completely break us up. Totally she will split us up. Completely, in the sense that just like You will notice that in the Bhagavatam, there is this incident mentioned about there, isn't it? In the appearance, Narasimhadev came up from the pillar. And what did he do? Because his ego from Hiranyakashipu was so strong, at one point, Narasimhadev's this with the nails, how he had to break Hiranyakashipu's body. It's exactly the way the Maya functions. If you say that you are somebody here, she will prove it to us that we are nobody here. We are nobody here. That's why it's important to take that situation, position that I am nobody here. That practically, forget about the world. What the world talk about us is not important. In our real existence in this world, we are nobody. We are nobody. Completely in the hands of Maya. Prakriti is in total control of us at all stages. If any time, if ahankaram builds up or false ego builds up inside and starts thinking that we are somebody very important, like anyone, people can think like that, isn't it? Due to the, that is Maya, that if that influence builds up inside, then she, the next moment, she will completely smash the whole thing down. Will completely smash the whole thing down. That is why, so when Narasimhadev came out from the pillar, that is what it has happened here. Actually, Narasimha's appearance was not for Prahlada. That you may ask why. People have this misunderstanding that Narasimhadev appeared for Prahlada's sake. Actually, Narasimhadev didn't appear for Prahlada. Narasimhadev appeared to sort out Hiranyakashipu. If you look into the Bhagavatam verses, you will see that. How Sukadeva Goswami puts that. He says there, if you look at the exact verse where he appeared, he mentions there, Satyam vidhatum nijabritya bhashitam. There is a verse about the appearance of the appearance of Narasimhamurti. He says,
Satyam vidhatum nija pratyabhashitam vyaptinja bhude shakhilesu chalpmana adrishadatyadbhudarubamudvahan stambhe sabhayam namrgam namanusham. Satyam vidhatum nija pratyabhashitam vyaptinja bhude shakhilesu chalpmana adrishadatyadbhudarubamudvahan stambhe sabhayam namrgam namanusham. Now, if you look at that verse, he says here, Satyam vidhadam nijabritya bhashitam. This is the line which confuses many people. Nijabritya bhashitam. Nijabritya bhashitam means, in order to make the word, in order to make the words of his servant true. So most of the people think that in order to make the words of Prahlada true. Actually, no. It was Hiranyakashipu's words that Hiranyakashipu is actually Narasimha's servant, isn't it? In the spiritual world, Hiranyakashipu is actually the servant. Prahlada is not the servant. Hiranyakashipu is the servant. So it is Hiranyakashipu who took the vow. What's that? He performed penances. And he got this benedictions from Brahma that he will not be killed during the day, during the night. He will not be killed inside or outside. He will not be killed by the human being or an animal. All these things. These are all the words of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu. Which means these are the words of Krishna's servant. Who? Jayan Vijaya. Out of the Vijaya. We can take it. Hiranyakashipu. So, Satyam Vidhadam Nijabritya Bhashidam Vyaptyam jabude shakhileshu chalpmana. In order to bring that, establish that truth, adrishadat albudarubamudvahan, that Krishna had to accept that form of Narasimha. Narasimhamurthy's form was accepted for bringing the words of Hiranyakashipu's words as true. In order to bring that, he has spoken that. These words were spoken. So here, you'll see, Satyam Vidadam Najabhritya Bhashinam. So normally people will say, Najabhritya Bhashinam means his own servant's words to come true. Krishna came from inside the pillar. Isn't it? From the pillar, Krishna came out. This Nijabhritya, normally people will say it's Prahlada, but it is not correct. Prahlada is not the Bhritya. Actually, Hiranyakashipu is the servant of Krishna. And Prahlada is not Krishna's servant. Hiranyakashipu is the servant. Because in Vaikuntham, he was the servant. He was the servant. And he took this vow and he got this benediction from Brahma under various conditions. I shouldn't be killed, I shouldn't be killed. So in order to make that all true, and Hiranyakashipu has, fulfilling all the conditions of Hiranyakashipu, Narasimhamurthy appeared. Narasimhamas appeared. So, so in other words, you can see that the pillar has become pregnant. Pillar had become pregnant with Hiranyakashipu. Isn't it? Pillar had to accept the pregnancy. So he came out from the pillar. So from where the problems will come, it's very difficult to say. So people ask this question always, that is there no solution to the problem? They'll say like that. So if there is a solution, then it is not a problem, isn't it? You can only say something is a problem for which there is no solution. So there is no solution. So for example, suppose it's very hot and it's sweating. And suppose you have an air-conditioned room and you are sitting there and enjoying the coolness of the air-conditioned room. Then there is no heat. You are not affected by the heat anymore. So practically you can see there is no problem as such, because there is a solution there. But if you have no solution to any problem, that is a real problem. That is what they call as prashnam. In Shastram, they call that as prashnam, where there is no solution to any problem. So it is in that state, Krishna mentioned this to us, that problems means an incident or happening which has no solution. That is what is called a problem in the Shastram. The word problem in Shastram is called prasnam. Prasnam means there is no solution to that problem. It is in that state Krishna is telling us, you remember in the Bhagavad Gita what he said then? Tolerate it. Titiksha. So, we talked about this before also in the Bhagavad Gita. Matrasparashastu kaundeya shidoshna sugadukhada. Agamabhayino anityam tam tidikshasva bharada. It is there where tidiksha is required. If a problem can be solved, then it is not considered as a problem even. But there are certain things which cannot be solved. And therefore it is called problem. Only then it's called problem. So, therefore, if you look at the word titiksha means to tolerate. Krishna is saying, sahanam sarva dukhanam. If you can tolerate all kinds of distress in life, all kinds of distress, no matter what kind of distress it comes, sahanam sarva dukhanam, apradhigara purvagam. Apradhigara means without any reaction, without reacting to it. Apradhigaram. Pradhigara means to react. Apradhigara means not to react to any situations. Sahanam sarva dukhanam apradigarapurvagam. Apradigarapurvagam means without any retaliation, without reacting to any situation. If you act like that, plus chinda vilaparahidam, not even thinking about it and lamenting about it. So, this has happened to me. I should have reacted to this. At the moment I am not reacting, but I will react another time when I get the right opportunity to react. In this way thinking, that is chinda. Chinda vilaparahidam. Not even thinking about it. Sahanam sarvadukhanam apradigarapurvagam chinda vilaparahidam. That is what Krishna is calling as titiksha.
That is what Krishna calls as Tidiksha. So, where does Tidiksha is necessary? Tidiksha is necessary when you know there is a prasnam, and where you know you can't, nothing can be done about that. In situations like that, Krishna's point is Tidiksha. Tidiksha is the solution to that problem. Tidiksha is solution to that problem. So there is no other solution to it. Krishna doesn't say you go on looking for solving that problem. Rather, Tidiksha is the option Krishna has given to us. That's why Krishna says here, Agam Apainu Anityam. They'll come and they will go. And understand this, anything that comes will go also one day. Anityam, they are temporary, and therefore Tam Tidikshasva Bharata. You tolerate that. That is what Krishna is saying here. If we do that and tolerate like that, Krishna says here, there will be immense benefit from that. Immense benefit from that. Because what is the benefit from that? That's the question, isn't it? If we do that, in due course of time, this ahankaram as well as the mind, both the false ego as well as the mind, it will start breaking up. It will start breaking up. There is no other way. Anyone who is constantly reacting to situations all the time, from all kinds of problems, constantly reacting to that, they will always have this problem. Ahankaram will never go from inside. So that is why that clue Krishna has given in that second chapter, that when happiness and distress comes, or when heat and cold comes, knowing very well that they are coming, and because they are coming, they will go. If you accept that principle, they are temporary. Tam Tidikshasva Bharata. Accept that and tolerate it. And if you tolerate, what is the benefit? The false ego will leave. Otherwise, false ego will never go. This false ego and the mind, they are together, close, isn't it? In the chitam, in the subtle body, they operate. And the subtle body can never function, can never, because ahankaram's nature is like that. The false ego's nature is that. So, actually, when this happens, who gets affected? Whenever there is a distress or disturbance in life, it is a false ego that gets disturbed, is it not? False ego gets disturbed, and our false ego gets affected by that, or the mind gets affected by that, and it prompts karma vasana also. Karma vasana gets affected by that. Karma vasana also gets affected by that. The subtle vasanas, what is growing up in this body. Actually, this whole chapter is a very subtle chapter. There are many things in this. As we go through, you will notice some of the things you may not even think about it in the past, any time. Because Krishna is talking to us from a level like that. In order that the spiritual knowledge is not to be understood by mind and intelligence. It is to be experienced. And all these things are blocks in front of us in realizing that. In that spiritual realization. That's why. So various ways in spiritual life, different acharyas will explain it in different way. Some people will say, whichever way you want to take it, you can take it. Tolerate it for some good reason. They will say like that. One thing they will say, if you experience that, all your karma will go. Karma will get exhausted in that way. So they will say to you that previous karma has come in this form and therefore I am suffering, and they will, in that way, they will dilute it and they will escape from that. They will experience it and they will swallow it in that way. So as I mentioned, all these things, this false is hits the false ego. Whenever happiness comes, false ego gets affected. Whenever distress comes, also false ego gets affected. False ego gets affected. Whatever it may be, there is no solution to the problem. Because as long as we think that within the sphere of this prakriti, material nature, we are ordinary people. And within this prakriti, distress will always come. Distress will always come. Who says this? Mahabali says this in the Bhagavatam. Mahabali puts it like this. Mahabali's words are like this. Sarvesham hi anukramad, he says. Mahabali says. When did he say this? They lost the battle, isn't it? With the Mahabali lost the battle
with the demigods and the demons were fighting, and Mahabali lost a battle. So Mahabali says all his men were dead, Viprachiti, Namula, and all other people who are fighting with him against the demigods, and Mohini Murthy has helped demigods to win, and they won the battle, and finally Mahabali and all lost the war. Mahabali lost the proprietorship of all the three planetary systems, and eventually he had to go back to the to Suthalam. He had to leave. So at that point, Mahabali comes up with some nice realizations. Mahabali says there that Sarvesham hi anukramat. In other words, Mahabali understood Maya, material nature, very well. Mahabali is saying there that material nature keeps stacks up everything one above the other. Happiness, distress, happiness, distress, happiness, distress. One above the other. And she will put it in front of everyone, one time or the other, one thing. Sometimes she will put happiness in front of one person and distress in another person's face. And then after this happiness, she will put the distress in front of this person and happiness to the other person. But she has stacked up everything nicely, that it's not that always there is happiness or always there is distress for anyone. So in a regular way, on a gradually, everyone gets their share in this life. Everybody gets their share in this life. So nobody should think, I'm happy now, and we should feel any proud about it, that everything is fine now, I'm settled down now, life, everything is going, family is good, financially everything is nice, and social life is going on well, health is good. If the moment you think like that, the very next moment something will be hit somewhere, something will happen. So exactly the same way, Mahabali's point is, don't feel distressed either anytime. So I'm distressed all the time. It's not going to stay there either, in either way. So so at no time, although it may all look very simple things, what's new in all these things, you may ask the question, what's there something new about it? What we have to understand is that when Krishna is saying certain things, there is a reason behind it. There is a reason behind it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be saying these things in the Bhagavatam. And particularly while quoting Mahabali and while giving reference to Jadabharata, it is the understanding their consciousness that is more important. Theoretically, to study what Raghugana told Jadabharata and what Jadabharata told Raghugana, it's very easy. It's not very difficult. There's only about 20 verses. All you can memorize it. And you can say Jadabharata said like this. But experiencing that is difficult. That consciousness of Jadabharata or the consciousness of Mahabali is very difficult. And that you can only understand that when they were in distress, how they reacted to situations. Then you will understand that. That is how it should help us. Otherwise, how will it help us? Suppose you have studied Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam has told all the story, and you have understood everything. What Raghugana said, you got all the verses there. What Jadabharata said, you got all the verses there. So what? What next? It is only helping you to understand, because Jadabharata and Mahabali were personalities who have gone through a life like all of us in this world, and how they reacted in this world when they were exposed to situations like this, that is our gain in this. That's our gain. If we had understood that Jadabharata's realizations, if you have understood Mahabali's realizations, it will take us a long way in changing our own nature. In changing our own. Otherwise, it's not going to change. It's not going to change very easily. So that is why Mahabali says there that material nature she knows very well. So somebody is saying that everything is fine, going on very well and feeling very happy about it. Never take it for granted, Mahabali says. When to hit you and when to release the air from the tire, she knows. When to release the air from the tire, she knows that, when to do it. This false ego builds up inside, and she will tolerate up to a limit. When it comes to a certain stage, she knows that now you need some change.
We need some change.
She knows that very well. Material nature. So, therefore, nobody can escape from that. Therefore, Krishna says there, the easiest thing to do in that situation is like Mahabali did, Atmanivedanam, or surrendering to Krishna. Then always to take this attitude or to take this mood, that I am nobody in front of Krishna's power or Krishna's energy, like material nature. That naham noaham tuam tuam, I am nothing, you are everything. That is the principle. Krishna is, if something is happening, instead of reacting to the situation straight away, rather Krishna is saying here that these things will happen inside material nature. All the highly advanced devotees, realized souls, this was their consciousness. They were not always trying to correct the situations.
So, only Krishna exists, and you may think that I cannot do anything. This is not lack of confidence in a person. People will say like that. If you say like something like this, they'll say, oh, he's not feeling, he has no self-confidence, they'll say. He'll say like that, isn't it? There's no self-confidence in him. So, actually, it is not a question of self-confidence. So, because it is actually a sadhana. It's a sadhana in adhyalpa sadhana. It's a spiritual sadhana it is. So this difference we must know very clearly. If you accept everything in life in this way, people will say that person has no confidence. It's no confidence. We'll say like that, isn't it? It's not a question of confidence. It is a adhyalpa sadhana it is. It's a spiritual sadhana it is. So why is it sadhana? This difference is important because externally everything is going on in this world. But inside that knowledge, that a knowledge of this world, knowledge of Maya, knowledge of Prakriti brings a certain control in us. And that is more important than anything else in this world. This is why it's necessary. It's not due to lack of confidence or lack of anything. By following this route, that Prakriti, material nature, is conducting her affairs, and I am nobody here. With this realization, if we live in this world, even when material nature sometimes puts certain difficult situation or happy situation, in all situations, it brings a certain maturity inside to accept that I'm not in control of the situation, and makes us ourselves to keep a certain control within us. That control is more important than anything else. I have no confidence and I'm not doing anything about it. That is not the principle. So this nishtha, this is a sadhana. This is a kind of sadhana. In other words, always to accept that a spiritual power is controlling all the activities in this world. Spiritual power is controlling all the activities in this world. And in the control of that power, we are just a machine being Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtani Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yandrarudhani Mayaya. It's an important verse in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtani Brahmayan Sarvabhudani. All living entities are being moved and made to play different thing, role in this world. Like Yantrarudhani Mayaya. Maya is doing that, isn't it? Yantrarudhani Mayaya. So, the statement is there in the Bhagavad Gita. We may study that verse, but if we don't take it seriously, what is the use? That Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantrarudhani Mayaya. It's in the last chapter, 18th chapter. So, from that verse, you can see Krishna's point is that in order for this knowledge to develop inside, there is a background necessary, and this is that background. This knowledge of the Maya's power in us, how Maya is constantly keeping us under her control, and instead of fighting against Maya, accepting that Maya is in control and being under her control, accepting whatever that is happening within Maya as her decision, and not to take it on our own hands and trying to react to that situation. Krishna says that is the mood, or that is the state of consciousness necessary for spiritual knowledge to build up inside. Otherwise it is difficult. That's why at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, what did Krishna say? Krishna said that Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hridayeshi Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. After saying that, straight away, in the very next verse, what did he say? Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata. That's the next verse, isn't it? Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata. Only then that control will come inside. And if there is no control inside, always reacting to situations in all times in life, where is the question of any spirituality developing? This is the point. This is the point. So this quality, what Krishna says, Titiksha, we may think that, oh, this is not practical. No, it's a question of practicality. It's a question of accepting what Krishna is saying there. Tameva. What is that verse? Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Huh. Sarva Bhavena Bharata. Then? Tal Prasadal Param Shandi Ajirenadi Gachadi, is it? Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwatam. Yeah. Tal Prasadal Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwatam. That is self-realization. Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwatam. So, this consciousness is important. Is important. World will tell you so many things. We don't have to worry about the world so much when we come to spiritual life. When we come to spiritual life, what Krishna says matters. What Krishna says matters. We may have difficulty in vyavaharam, there is always problem. But that is the very nature of Maya. Maya is, will continue to throw different challenges in some form or the other. So, you will see this one point, these two verses together. They are very important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. First thing, Maya is controlling everything. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hridayeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantra Rudhani Maya. Normally, what we do? What do we say? We learn this verse and then we say that, oh, it's Maya is doing, what can I do about it? Maya is doing. Something goes wrong, then we say Maya has done it. But what we don't accept is, good or bad, no matter what it is, Maya is doing it. That is the proper understanding. Not that when something goes wrong, Maya has done it. When something has gone well, I have done it. This is the normal approach, isn't it? But to get to that realization that in all situations, it is Maya who is doing everything. It's Maya who is doing everything. That's why Krishna is saying there, Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Just like Yantra Rudhani means, just like that, what do they call it? That giant wheel. That is the Yandram. That in that wheel, if you sit, you'll go to the top 1 minute, next moment at the bottom. Again go to the top, again to the bottom. Isn't it? Famous thing. This. What is that? Yeah, London Eye. Yes, London Eye. So that is what it is, isn't it? It goes up and down, up and down. So by accepting this verse, Krishna's point here, what happens? It brings a control in us, inside us. That is the biggest thing. That is the greatest achievement. Achievement means that is the benefit from that. By accepting that, it controls us. It controls our life. It controls our life. That surrender comes from that. It is from that acceptance of that the next verses come. Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata. Il Prasadat Param Shantim Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwatam. Yeah, that's right. Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwatam. These are all the very last verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is pointing out to us that all this Bhagavad Gita, its knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam, its knowledge, that's all fine. But if you want to have that knowledge, experiencing, then this background is important. This background is important. In the absence of which, it won't happen. It will simply remain as a
as a theoretical exercise. Now you can see the problem, the difference between Bhagavad Gita and all the other scriptures. Bhagavad Gita takes you to such a level and tell you that if these things are not there, don't worry about Bhagavad Gita, leave Bhagavad Gita, do what you like. But if you want Bhagavad Gita to be in experience level, experiences level, then all these things does matter. It does matter. So, you will notice the same thing in the Bhagavatam also. Bhagavatam puts it in a different way. Not only once, many times. In the same Srimad Bhagavatam, some verses appear again and again and again. In many places it comes like that. So, Ishasya hi vashe logo yosha darumayi yatha. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam. Ishasya hi vashe logo. It is in the third canto, it is in the seventh canto. In so many places you will see the same thing. So, in principle, what Bhagavad Gita is saying and Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, it is the same thing. In essence, if you take it, Ishasya hi vashe logo yosha darumayi yatha means that Ishasya hi vashe logo, the world is in Krishna's control. Ishwara. Krishna's control. Whether it is happening through prakriti, material nature is another thing. But Ishasihi Vashelogo, he is the one who is controlling everything. Exactly like Yosha Darumayi Yatha. That just like in the wooden puppets, the person who is pulling the strings from behind, he uses the puppets to play whatever game he wants them to play. So, So, therefore, there is not much of a freedom there. This acceptance is such an important thing in spiritual life. So, Krishna says here that Krishna engages everyone in his, just like these puppets. It is being played like that. So, in Krishna's control, all of us are nothing but puppets. So, accordingly, all you can do is to play the role what has been given to us. So instead of thinking, I can do this, I can do that, I will do this, I will do that, I will escape from this, I'll get out from here. Krishna is saying the right thing to do is not to think even in that way. To accept that Krishna has put me in this situation, whatever it may be, I will accept it. And I will more and more surrender to Krishna rather than thinking in my own capacity of escaping from here with my false ego. This is the main principle. Normally that is how it is, isn't it? Everybody, when they come first and take to spiritual life, and over a period of time you start thinking, oh, I am somewhat different from the rest of the world. Isn't it? Start feeling, because I'm following four regulative principles, you become one level up. Second level, you start chanting 16 rounds, second level up. Third level, you got initiated, you're on the top of the world. This goes on like this. This is all misunderstanding. Spiritual life doesn't work like this. And then for 20, 30 years, you have done a lot of things, and after that, it says, nothing is working, I'm going. So what is the use? That kind, that is not proper. That's the right way is this. And then Maya will feed you with so many things in the middle of all these things, and you will get trapped in one of them and you will be gone from them. You don't hear about him anymore after that. All spiritual life is over. But that, why is it like that? Because these underlying principles of spiritual life is not taken on board. It's not taken on board. We are thinking it's something, it is in your hands, everything. Right now, I got this, I got it done, I'll do this, I'll do that. And so Maya says, yes, yes, you can do, carry on doing it. And you'll come to a point that you'll realize that it is not in your hands. It's not in your hands. This we have to accept it. There's no choice there. The intelligence says, accepting that Krishna's power is working in this world, we have no freedom, we have no independence, we have no strength to do anything. And in that surrendered state, executing what we have to do in this world, that is Krishna consciousness. That is Krishna consciousness. For example, there are so many examples to give you on this. Sometimes, in some famous temples, they'll bring the deities on the chariot for the chariot day festival. So, in one of the famous Shiva temples, they bring Shiva and Parvati together on a chariot, on a festival day, on a
festival day, they bring Shiva and Parvati on a chariot. And the story behind that is that Shiva and Parvati had some argument each other, just like Krishna and Rukmini had. Shiva and Parvati also had some arguments. And Parvati got upset with Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is trying to please Parvati. How he is pleasing Parvati? Shiva starts dancing. When they bring them in the chariot, Lord Shiva starts dancing. So people are watching this. All of them are watching. Shiva is dancing in front of Parvati. Shiva is known for dancing, isn't it? Nataraja, as he's called. So he is fond of dancing. Shiva is dancing in front of Sri Parvati. And people are saying that, look at this. Even Shiva has to dance in front of Parvati like this to please her, to satisfy her. So one sannyasi was sitting there. He was saying that, yes, yes, you can say all that. But what you do not know, it is that him who is making us also to dance in this life here. We are all dancing according to his tune. And he is also dancing in front of Sri Parvati. That Maya's strength is like that. But in a festival time, when they are bringing them out on a festival, people will only see this side of it. What is that? Oh, even Shiva is dancing like this in front of Parvati. They are not seeing that Shiva is making us also to dance in this world. So, Ishasyahi Vashayaloko Yosha Dharumayi Yada. So we will never remember this, that Krishna is making us to dance in this world. This dance is going on. All of us are part of that dance, Krishna's dance. So, so just to think that all of us are nothing but a toy in Krishna's hands, this is realization. This is the realization. That will not come by studying verses or by reading Bhagavatam. That understanding won't come. That has to come inside. And that's why all these things are spoken about the Maya. So, this, when we know that we are nothing here, and what is the greatest thing, what happens at that time? We come to realize that we are everything. When we come to know that we are nothing in this world, this is how it happens. You see, this is very difficult to get rid of this false ego inside. Isn't it? Very difficult to get rid of this false ego inside. Krishna is saying to us, Amanitvam Adambitvam. Two things, isn't it? Amanitvam Adambitvam. If you look into the 26 qualities of a devotee, these two are the first one mentioned. Amanitvam Adambitvam. Amanitvam means freedom from false pride. Adambitvam means not to the ego to operate in this world. Dambham. Freedom from Dambham. Now, how will you practice this? These two qualities? How can anyone practice this? Think about it. Suppose you read the verse. Krishna has given the list. Okay, if I study all the verse, I can write in the exam if somebody asks me and get my certificate hang up. That's all very nice. But how will you take it inside? How can that change happen inside? That is more important, isn't it? Whether I have answered somebody, that has no value. Whether I got the passed the exam, failed the exam, got the certificate, doesn't matter at all. Whether they call you Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava or Bhakti Vedanta, hardly matters. They are no value. What is important is, have I got it, what Krishna is saying? That's more important than anything else. Isn't it? Is it not? That's more important than anything else. Because it is these things that will help you in spiritual life, not all the other things what I have done in my life. Is it not? So, that is where you require that help, Krishna's help. Certain things Krishna is saying, if you accept these things, you don't have to, for example, people ask this question all the time. How do I become humble, Prabhu? They will ask. How do I become humble? What can you answer that question? You become humble? That's all you can say. What else can you say to him? So the question is, Krishna is saying to us, he is giving a framework within which if you accept all these things what Krishna is saying, all these qualities will naturally come to you without much effort. Without any effort. That is how it happens. Not by attending a course or doing memorizing the verses, it won't happen. They are there only to help you to do this. To do this, you need to understand what is Krishna is expecting from us. Now, there Amanitam and Anambitvam, Acharya's commentaries on that is that if you are very intensely searching for self-realization, don't worry about these qualities. They will naturally come to you. You don't have to go after them. This is the important thing. That you can also see yourself. If you, when you are in a very lonely situation, or when you are alone, if you think about it, if you are very serious about spiritual life and self-realization, you are willing to tolerate any nonsense in this world. You don't care about it. Isn't it? And if you are willing to tolerate any nonsense in this world, means what? Amanitvam, Adambitvam. That's what it means. So only due to lack of intense desire for self-realization that we have this problem of false pride, ego, everything. So solution, Krishna, because they operate on a subtle level, Krishna is saying to us that if you have cultivated intense desire for freedom from this cycle of birth and death, I'm saying in one level this is. Another level, when you have realized it, there is no birth, there is no death. That is another state. But till you reach that state, you have to go through all these different phases. There is no other way. There is no other way. This is what is growing in spiritual life means. That different people you will see. A person who has freedom from false ego, freedom from the amanitvam, adambitvam, humility, freedom from false ego, that person who has gone through all that, for him, these things are not anymore important. He has gone beyond than that. Is it not? So, humility, pridelessness, that is the words Prabhupada has used in that verses. So, that has already happened to someone because he is very intensely trying to move away from this bodily identity. If he has reached that state, he know at one point that it doesn't exist, what is called bondage and liberation. That comes such a later day. So whatever it is, then what happens at this point is that when we recognize this, that all these things are in the hands of a very powerful force that is operating here, what is that greatest thing? We touch the very base of it. We touch the very base of it. And what is actually preventing us in touching that base of all these things is that purnatvam. Purnatvam means, remember, purnada. Purnada means that perfection. Perfection in us. Why it's not happening is because of this problem. What is happening with our pride? What's happening with our pride? And due to that, we have in our swarupam what is known as kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, and I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and also I have this duty to do, and I have something to achieve in this world, and all these things are nothing but the bacteria of this pride. Nothing but the bacteria of the pride. And as long as that bacteria is there, the pride is there, we are in Shastram what is called as Parichinam. Parichinam means that we have broken up ourselves from that Supreme Consciousness. We have separated ourselves. So it's 10 past, I think. So we'll stay for another 15 minutes or so and continue with Bhagavad Gita after that.